there are many men, probably yourself, you're tuning into this video, that have tried to quit pornography, but they fail. And this is usually the cycle. And you're going to find yourself, many of you are going to say, this is me. I'm here because I'm doing this cycle again, and I'm tired of failing. A man knows he watches too much pornography. He knows that. He knows it's a problem. He decides he will not watch it again. He goes for a long time without consuming and not even experiencing temptation. Then out of nowhere, he is tempted to watch pornography again. He feels shame that he's tempted and that he's entertained thoughts in his brain, so he concludes he's not strong enough and he continues to watch pornography. That last step goes on and on until we get back to step number one. A man knows that he has a problem. And he just keeps doing this over and over and over. Welcome back to Bible Line. I'm your host, Pastor Jesse Martinez. And today we are going to begin a three-part video series on pornography, which we're titling Breaking the Cycle and Finding Victory. This style of video that we're doing at Bible Line is getting away from what Bible Line is supposed to be, a question and answer ministry. But I believe it's important because in all the perusing I've done on social media and working with young people and just running a church, dealing with real people, there are a lot of problems that people are suffering from, and the solutions that they're trying to apply are not biblical. They're not correct. Mental health being one of those things, we've already kind of dove into a lot of those issues. A solution for all those issues, which is realizing what we have in Christ, realizing what we have in the sealing of the Holy Spirit, and also in the new man. But that's just so rare today. Even in clear churches, I'm seeing a lack of discussing the old man and the new man. And Lordship Salvation, you know, they come in and fill the gap with saying, well, if you've only got sin and you're still struggling with it, maybe your conversion wasn't real. Reformed doctrine has taken off. Calvinism and all of that has baked it into their ideology. If you are really saved, then you won't sin anymore. And that's actually proof that you're saved, blah, blah, blah. And they get into all these different things. And I think it's important that we recognize there is an old man in all of us. We're born with that old sinful nature. And that old sinful nature doesn't go anywhere once we experience salvation, once we are born again and we have the new man. The old man doesn't go anywhere. The new man is perfect. The new man has everything that we need to experience victory, but we have to learn to choose the new man. And if we're going to think we're going to get over the old man by strengthening the old man with some type of discipline or program, then we're denying the power that is found in our new nature. So taking all of that into this issue of pornography, in this first video, we're going to talk about an introduction to the problem, which is, you know, when I was typing this, I kind of thought, I don't think any man needs an introduction to this problem. It's baked into every single part of our culture. And that's actually the first point I want to discuss with you. I've got five different areas where I know as a man, as a former young man, I mean, I'm 33 at the time of this recording, but I'm only getting older, but it's everywhere. It's everywhere. It's in our video games. It's in our culture. It's in all sorts of things. But these five areas I want you to notice, it's in our language. Our language is hypersexualized. The number one used swear word is the F word. And most of the time, that word comes to mean some type of sex act or something like that. But it's just used everywhere. And you hear that from a young age over and over and over again. You get desensitized to it, to what it really means. Then you introduce yourself into pornographic culture, and you see that word carries right over. It carries right over into every area of pornography. So it's in our language. There's innuendos. Having a 1-year-old, you go back and watch some of the movies that you watched growing up, like little kids' movies here and there, and there's humor for the adults there too. And when I mean humor for the adults, it may be like a funny quip or something that's not sexual in nature, but there's other sexually strong and suggestive things there too. It's in our music. I don't even listen to music anymore that has to do really anything with contemporary music, just because of how sexually driven it is. It is everywhere. I can't tell you the last time I've listened to a song that was kind of trending or popular, but it's in the music. And I remember that being something that progressed over time. I kind of like grew up and was introduced to this kind of stuff like around like 2003, 2004. So I would say from then till now, 20 years, a lot has changed. And it's just totally pervasive. As a matter of fact, I remember music videos in particular, like thinking like, oh man, those, they're kind of sexual. They were designed for that, but there wasn't a lot that was being shown. But now it's like, it's a full on, I don't have to explain these things. You already know them. They're in our movies. Now you notice that the designation TVMA was so rare back in like the early 2000s, I think shows like maybe like The Sopranos and some other things had really mature content, and they were groundbreaking at the time for what they were showing. You open up Netflix now, and if you have a regular account over 18 years old, almost every show has the TVMA marking, and they can really show whatever they want. And they pretty much do outside of actual hardcore pornography, but it leaves very little to the imagination. It's in our advertisements. It's in the way that things are sold, how companies try to bring people in, luring them. And then it's in the public square. And this one I wrote down in parentheses, clothing standards, because there is a whole debate about, you know, the freedom of sexual expression and all of that. What that ends up doing is it ends up sexualizing people, male and female. It's more primarily on the female side, but males too. I've seen some clothes that guys choose to wear where it's like, dude, you're basically walking around in a skin suit. And of course, ladies are doing the same thing. And we're so used to this, right? That's why I use that phrase, baked into our culture. But it's not supposed to be this way. Okay, this gets to my second point, which is, you know, pornography is something that God condemns. The stuff that's being shown in our language, in our music, in our movies, in our advertisements, in the public square, God condemns it. And he doesn't have to say, thou shalt not watch pornography, for us to say, oh, it's condemned. He gives us several different things in the scripture that are truths that we can apply to this issue of pornography. Let's just talk about this for a very brief moment. You know, what is pornography? It is the act of looking at somebody else or participating in yourself, the act of sex, okay? And it can be all different types of sexual arousal and participating in it, viewing it, or being a part of it. That's what pornography is. So when we boil it down, pornography is an issue of what man does with what God gave, okay? What did God give? He gave us sex. That's how we reproduce. That's how we express the physical form of love. What has man done with it? Well, they try to eliminate the reproductive aspect of it and only take part in the entertainment side of it. So let me just run through these points with you. First of all, God tells us that sex is for one man, one woman inside the covenant of marriage. Genesis chapter 2 in verse 24 is where we first see this discussed. Genesis 2:24, therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. This is the institution of marriage established by God, one man, one woman. They shall come together to lay with one another. They're one flesh. This is marriage. The act of laying with one another does not make the marriage happen, but that is how sex is going to be a-okay. The marriage bed is undefiled. Hebrews talks about that. But Paul, I think, does a really good job of going into further detail about this very specific thing in 1 Corinthians chapter 7. And just, you know, before everybody goes, well, you know, in verse 6, he says, I'm speaking this by permission, not of commandment. Well, that's for everything after 6 and before a certain verse. But the first five things that he says, they're still good. He says, now concerning the things whereof you wrote unto me, it is good for a man not to touch a woman. Nevertheless, to avoid fornication, let every man have his own wife, and let every woman have her own husband. I mean, this is really clear. If you're married, you're married to one woman. If you're a woman and you're married to one man, and that's it. You could touch that person all you want, but to avoid fornication, don't touch another woman. Don't touch another man who's not your own, and we'll get into that in a moment. Further on, let the husband render unto the wife due benevolence, and likewise also the wife unto the husband. You're affectionate to that partner only. The wife hath not power over her own body, but the husband. And so many feminists would say that verse ends there. It doesn't. It says, and likewise also the husband hath not power over his own body, but the wife. You enter into the covenant of marriage, and you are saying to your spouse, my body is yours. Your body is mine. This is the same. So when you guys come together intimately, that's a part of how God designed it. There's nothing wrong with that. And I'll get to this point in a minute, but I think it serves well right now. Sex is not some taboo, evil, no-no thing. We never talk about it. The church that I was raised in before I came here to Calvary is a Southern Baptist church, and I'm not saying all of them are like this, but most of them are. And the way that they approached sex was like it was a swear word. And what that did for me was like, you know, girls are ill, and you know, as long as we don't have sex, then our relationship is good. When sex is a good thing, it's a wonderful thing as God has designed it. Man's use of it and perversion of it is where the issue comes in. But if you're watching and you've got kids, you've got young kids, and you're thinking like, how do I have this conversation? Have it honestly, as God has it honestly. There's nothing wrong with sex. How we use sex is where the problem comes in. Period. And God has given us basic understandings for how sex works, and we don't have to shun it just because the world has ruined it. That's a side note, but getting back to this, the power of the body is between the man and the woman in marriage. They have authority over one another, and they submit the authority. But then here in verse 5, defraud ye not one another, except it be with consent for a time, that ye may give yourselves to fasting and prayer, and come together again, that Satan tempt you not for your incontinency. This is important. The function of marriage, and I'm not saying this means you have to, in a marriage, you have to have sex this many times in order for it to be healthy. It's not what this means. It means don't withhold yourself from one another, because the nature of sex is it's powerful. It's the first instruction that Adam and Eve have: be fruitful and multiply. That's not going to be a hard thing for them to do. As God had designed it, it's something that we enjoy. You're not supposed to withhold that from one another. And when you do withhold that from one another, now you're going to have a problem in your marriage. And this is where pornography comes in. We see this all the time. Somebody trips and falls, they have to trip before they fall. You're not just seeing people all the I laugh because of just in my mind, I'm imagining this. Imagine you're at the supermarket or something. All of a sudden, someone just bloop, they're just flat on the ground like they glitched out. No one falls like that. And so spiritually, it's the same way. We don't just wake up one day and, oh my goodness, I've run out on my marriage. It starts by the marriage not doing what it's supposed to do. And like I said, it doesn't mean you're supposed to have sex every day or seven, you know, times a month or anything like that. But you're not supposed to defraud one another. So, you know, whatever you do, you plan it out. You make sure that there's a regular routine that works for your marriage. But if all of a sudden sex is now being weaponized in the marriage, and it's like, oh, I'm not going to have sex with my wife or whatever, I'm not going to have sex with my husband, blah, blah, blah. Now you're letting the devil, you are opening the door. You're saying, come in here. You can do damage here. And that's where most men turn to pornography. Women, they use pornography, but statistically not as much. And that's where men turn to pornography. They use it for several years. It's no longer as effective. So then they start talking in chat rooms anonymously. And then they start, you know, whatever the process is, next thing you know, they're committing physical adultery. And it's a major issue. It's all sin, but it's a major issue. That's what God says about marriage. About sex. This is how it's supposed to work. It's a good gift from God. It's not taboo or evil. So now the perversions of sex, the very first use of the word adultery is in Exodus chapter 20 and verse 4. And we have the perversions of sex are biblically described as two words, adultery or fornication. A lot of people think, well, what about lust? Well, most of the time, lust is used to describe the desire for sex, but lust just means to desire. You can lust after food in a desirous, covetous way. But lust in and of itself is not sex. You can lust after that. You can desire after fornication and adultery, but you shouldn't. But make sure you understand those distinctions. So Exodus 20, thou shalt not commit adultery. Very basic. And then 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 13 says that, we're going to go there. So 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 3 says, for this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that you should abstain from fornication. So adultery is the act of sex between two people who are married to somebody else. So they have already given away their bodies to somebody else, and then they go and use their bodies under the influence of somebody else sexually. Okay, that's adultery. So not everybody can commit adultery. You have two unmarried people, they're sleeping together, that's fornication. And this is a broader misuse of sex, which includes adultery. It includes adultery, but it's not always adultery. It can also be behavior between unmarried individuals. It can be incest, rape, homosexuality, bestiality. Now, some people would say, well, what about masturbation? Does that fall in here? And I think a lot of people who are going to search this title and come to this video, you'll be here and you'll be like, I have a problem with masturbation. I have a problem with pornography and masturbation in general. Well, we're going to get to that right now. Fornication, Jesus gives some groundbreaking insight to God's view of the mental game that happens when people are usually masturbating or using pornography and masturbating at same time or whatever. Fornication can also be committed by engaging in sexual impure thoughts about an individual. And that's from Matthew chapter 5, verse 27 through 28. So we're going to go there. This is in the middle of the Sermon on the Mount. And Jesus is in the middle of exposing some wrong ideas about righteousness and basically exposing self-righteousness. He says this in Matthew 5, 27. You have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not commit adultery. Okay, yeah, Exodus 20 and verse 4. We get that. But I say unto you that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust, desire after her, hath committed adultery with her in his heart already. Now, what this means is you desire, that word lust, sexually after a woman in your mind, you've committed adultery. So that's a major issue. I mean, that takes pornography and says it's wrong. It kind of, and you may be this person. So I want to be gentle when I say this. I actually have a quote I think that will be helpful. The fact that fornication that takes place in the brain has fewer bad consequences than fornication that takes place on a bed does not mitigate the truth of Matthew 5, 27 through 28. That's by Dr. Thomas Constable. It's an excellent statement. Some people say, well, I'm not hurting anybody. First of all, you're hurting yourself. That is the number one person that is being hurt. You're damaging your ability to grow spiritually. You're also participating in the hurt of the individual who's behind the camera. I'm talking about women that are being misused, whether they enjoy it or not. They're being misused. That's somebody's daughter, somebody's mother perhaps, a sister, a cousin, an aunt, whatever it may be. And then the male aspect of it too. I can't tell you the numbers that have come out on how much of recorded pornography is against the will of the individual, specifically the will of the woman. It should cause concern. But people don't know that because the devil wants to hide all that. He goes, it's no problem, blah, blah, blah. I've heard pastors, and granted, this was probably 10 years ago, I've heard pastors say silly things like, oh, you know, pornography is a good aid and foreplay and all that. It's not. It's wrong. It breaks Matthew 5, 27 through 28. So we already understand now that you have a better view of what God says about it, I want you to make sure that you earmark those verses in your brain because they're going to be helpful down the road when we talk about identifying triggers and finding victory. But here's the last few things I want to talk about here. There are many men, probably yourself, you're tuning into this video, that have tried to quit pornography, but they fail. And this is usually the cycle. And you're going to find yourself, many of you are going to say, this is me. I'm here because I'm doing this cycle again, and I'm tired of failing. A man knows he watches too much pornography. He knows that. He knows it's a problem. He decides he will not watch it again. He goes for a long time without consuming and not even experiencing temptation. Then out of nowhere, he is tempted to watch pornography again. He feels shame that he's tempted and that he's entertained thoughts in his brain. So he concludes he's not strong enough and he continues to watch pornography. That last step goes on and on until we get back to step number one. A man knows that he has a problem. And he just keeps doing this over and over and over. And the period of time may get greater that he doesn't use, but he usually comes right back into it because there's several issues. And we're going to address them in the second video. But primarily, he's not trusting in the right power to be delivered from that. And he's also trying to strengthen the very thing that is causing him to fail. He's trying to make a strong flesh stop the weak flesh. It's counterproductive. It won't lead to long-term success. A struggle with or an addiction to pornography does not disqualify the sinner from salvation, nor does it disqualify the believer from eternal life. This is the biggest thing that I find with people. I don't usually read these emails when we do question and answer because they're kind of graphic. But there's a lot of people that say, I cannot stop watching pornography. Am I saved? You know, they'll say things like, I've put my trust in Jesus Christ. I believe that he died on the cross for my sin. I believe he died on the cross for this sin, but I can't get over it. Am I a reprobate? Am I somebody who's just not a part of God's program for salvation, and therefore I can't get rid of this issue? Let me ask you this question. Is pornography a sin? The answer is yes. We've looked in the scripture. It's a perversion of God's instruction for sex and how it's to be used. So then going on, if it is a sin, ask yourself this question. Did Jesus die to pay for those sins? Yes, he did. And this is why application of the word is so important. If you don't know what the Bible says, the devil's going to eat your lunch. And that's such a cute little expression, but it's a real dark reality. He is going to destroy your confidence. He's going to make you think you can't do anything because you're not even saved. You've got an addiction to pornography. He can't use you. There is a part of that yes, the addiction to pornography is going to limit you, but it's not going to exclude you from what's already been given. If you've put your trust in Jesus Christ, your sin is paid. 1 John 2:2, and he is the propitiation for our sins. Our sins there is speaking on believers, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. So for all the people that have yet to change their mind about Jesus Christ, their pornographic behavior sin is covered too by the blood of Jesus. And then you have, of course, Acts chapter 13, verses 38 and 39. This is important to understand as well. Be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. The message of Jesus Christ is you can have your sin forgiven. It doesn't say everything except repetitive pornographic usage. And by him, all that believe are justified from all things. That's the forgiveness of sin. So you're justified from this pornographic use. That doesn't mean you have a license to do it, but it is forgiven, from which you could not be justified by the law of Moses. So this struggle with pornography, it does limit your progressive sanctification. If you're watching and you've already put your trust in Jesus Christ, you know you're going to heaven. This addiction will keep you from growing in your sanctification, growing in your Christian life. And it will bring you under discipline from the Lord. We have 1 Thessalonians 4:3. It's a part of God's will for our sanctification that we do not participate in fornication. Verse 7 of 1 Thessalonians 4 says, "For God hath not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness we're set apart." 1 John chapter 3 in verse 3 says, "And every man that hath this hope in him," the first two verses talk about that hope being the hope that we're going to see Jesus as a part of our eternal life, "purifieth himself even as he is pure." And then, of course, you have 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 16 through 17. "Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God," which would be through fornication, And this is for the believer. Him shall God destroy. Now, this doesn't mean he's going to destroy your eternal life, but he will destroy your physical body. And people that run around, even people that use too much pornography, which any is too much, but they're using it like every day, hours on end, most of those men develop erectile dysfunction. And I've actually found it quite interesting in the last, I would probably say, like 5 years. Maybe it's because I'm getting older and the marketing is like, oh, this might be for you. But a lot of younger people are getting ads for like hymns and all sorts of stuff about erectile dysfunction. I'm not a scientist, but my guess is men are probably having a hard time being stimulated by a real woman because they're too busy focusing on an internet woman and internet situations that are not real. And so they need this medication to kind of help them. That's non-medical opinion, but you can desensitize yourself to real stimulation, and all of a sudden you're going to need more and more and more. This is how people end up doing crazy stuff. It's not how God intended it. So understanding that 1 Corinthians 3:16 through 17 is talking about the destruction of the believer's body, there is going to be punishment for continual use. But let's just get real here, and I want to speak to you and say, you're not alone in this. Okay, a lot of men struggle with this. There's two types of people that are watching this video. There's people who are watching this video who struggle with pornography and have eternal life. And there are people that are watching this video who struggle with pornography and do not have eternal life. The only difference between those two people is one is going to heaven, the other is on their way to hell. I want you to understand the most important thing that you can do today is to change your mind about who you're trusting in to get to heaven. Your reformation from this sin, your good behavior, your good deeds, your good intentions are not enough to get you to heaven. The Bible says we're saved by grace. We're not saved by our good works. If all you understand out of this video is that you're not going to heaven, then I want you to understand this part. Jesus Christ died on the cross to pay for all of your sins. What he did took care of the punishment of this sin that you're struggling in and all the sins that you've committed, all of them, past, present, and future. That verse, 1 John 2:2, there's a word there called propitiation. It means an atonement. And what Jesus Christ did is he died in your place and his blood covers all of your sin. So all you have to do right where you are is not promise to do better. You're here right now because you promised to do better. You've been struggling with this for a long time. It's not, I'm going to reform myself. I'm going to get stronger. The flesh is weak. What you need is a savior. You need a hand that sticks out and says, will you trust me? And that's all you have to do. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You just have to come from the place of unbelief and put your faith in Jesus Christ, that Jesus, as the Son of God, shed his blood to pay for all your sins. He was buried and he rose again 3 days later. If you put your trust in him, you're now a child of God that is also struggling with the pornography issue. But regardless of whether you can get that right or not, you're going to heaven. And that's not a heresy, folks. That's the grace of God. It's no other way. Now, I want you to stick around and make sure that you watch these next few videos because I think they'll be helpful. I'll be giving you some practical wisdom from the Bible and then things that I've counseled people on that I think will help you attain victory over this pornography in your life. If that made sense to you and you'd like to reach out to us, make sure you do. Leave a comment or send us an email, questions@bibelineministries.org. Until next time, keep looking up. Jesus Christ is coming soon. If you enjoyed today's episode of Bibeline, make sure to subscribe to the channel and share this video with a friend. Do you have a Bible question? Send us an email, questions@bibelineministries.org, and we'll do our best to get you an answer. Or you can leave your question in the comments of this video. Be sure to check the links in the description for more clear Bible teaching. Bibeline is a ministry of Calvary Community Church located in Tampa, Florida.